Looking for all your fantasy footy needs? Look no further. You! You're listening to the Fantasy Footy Fever Podcast. Here's your host, Max Matthews.
Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of the AFL Fantasy Footy Fever Podcast. My name is Max Matthews and I'll be your host for the 2024 AFL Fantasy season. Now, to start off today, I'll go through how my team went and then followed by some break-evens, some of the best scores from last round, some captain options, and then we'll just go through a few questions from the listeners. So, this round, I scored 1,953 points, so that ranked me 45k for the round, and I went down 3,000 spots, so I've now got an overall ranking of 10,981. Not really what I wanted. I thought I had a pretty good team coming out of the best 18 rounds. And then some carnage struck during team selections where Zach Fisher was named sub. And I had to get rid of him instead of getting rid of someone like Riley Sanders. Also had to get rid of Massimo D'Ambrosio because he was managed as well. So I went Zach Fisher to Hugo Garcia and Massimo to Jai Caldwell. And I'll just go through each position and how each player went. So Harry Sheasel was my vice-captain on the early Saturday game against the Crows. And 92% time on ground, had 29 disposals and 12 marks, so played halfback for the first half and then was pushed into the midfield and even sometimes at half forward for the second half, which is a little bit interesting from Clarko. Obviously, he scores pretty well in defence, so hopefully for all the fantasy coaches out there, he can stay at the halfback, but Colby McKercher seemed to get his role when he went down in the forward line, but nevertheless, he still scores very well. Lockie Whitfield, 105, so wasn't too bad. Had 71% time on ground, which is his least for the whole season so far, but still racked up 31 possessions with 7 marks. Just ball use off the half-back line is what GWS need, and always look to give it to him, so nothing to worry about Lockie Whitfield. Obviously, injury concerns have been worrying the past few seasons for him, but turning out like a very good pick so far this year. Nick Dacos was back after his bye against Port Adelaide the week before, scored a 95. And similarly, he scored 98 this week against Essendon. Was thinking that he was going to get tagged, but didn't seem like anyone really wanted to go to him. Racked up the 27 touches, so not too bad from him, but marks and tackles are down this year from what it was last year. Still kicked a goal from a free kick play on, so that wasn't too bad. Now priced at 871k and has Carlton, which will be a difficult matchup this week, so maybe you can wait on him one more week before grabbing him. Has a breaking of 111 and he's projected to go down almost 10k this week. Hayne Young, so going into this round we were thinking that he might have been rested after a late knock last week where he sat the last 20 minutes out on the bench and then he came out against the Western Bulldogs and got 24 touches, 4 marks, 5 tackles and even kicked a goal for his ton. His time on ground doesn't go above 80 most weeks, but it seems to be pretty standard for him. He doesn't really need to do that much to get his fantasy points, and with Richmond this week he should score well yet again. Riley Bonner came up against Port Adelaide for the first time since being traded to St Kilda and managed to get 22 touches. Kick to handball ratio is looking very good with 20 kicks. Was down on marks again this week, so he only had the 4 marks. 1 tackle is pretty standard for him, but just looks a little bit less likely to get the ball when Nazaia Wanganeine-Millara has been targeted more off that half back line, which is a little bit concerning, and apparently he might even get dropped against North Melbourne this week. So keep your eye out on team selections for how he is going. Sam Closey, 59. I fielded him instead of Zach Williams after Zach got a 60 as my emergency, and with some late wet weather coming into play. Sam Closey wasn't able to progress his score that much in the second half of that game. Finished up with 59 points from his 14 disposals. Time on ground still pretty good with just above 80. And as a wingman, you should expect him to play for majority of the game. Charlie Dean didn't play. He hasn't been selected for a few weeks, so he's just a red dot sitting there for any loopholes I need to do. And Zach Williams obviously got the 60, so breaking up 75 now, a lot of people will be jumping off him, and I'll be one of those people trying to get off him, depending on how Connor Rosie is looking like and how he's pulled up from the weekend. I'll talk about him in just a moment. Marcus Bontempelli, 96, so it's a little bit worrying, seeming as though he started on his 120 run last season at the same time, and he's been a little bit down on form so far this year. Obviously had one of the best games I've seen from a player against Geelong in Gather Round at the Adelaide Oval. Has Hawthorn this week, hopefully he scores well. McGuinness might go to him, but maybe with Libba coming back, more attention will go into him being the clearance king that he is. But we need Marcus to start firing soon. He's normally a captain option, and when he doesn't seem to be performing as well as what we are expecting him to, it's sometimes a little bit concerning for us. A lot of people might have rage traded him, but you have to stick with a guy that you pay top dollar for at the start of the season. Connor Rosie's the next guy that I'll talk about. So he got subbed at three-quarter time with a hamstring issue, and now has a breakdown of 138, scored the 89, so he was on track for another big score this season. 57% time on ground from that time, and he had 19 disposals. So Josh Carr in a presser yesterday said that he's pulled up pretty well. It's a little bit of a wait and see. There's obviously something there, but he's not really feeling any hamstring issue right now. But to be honest, he will be touch and go for this week, but he's most likely not going to play. So that's a little bit worrying for the 13% that own him at the moment. Obviously, coming up against the Crows in the showdown early this week will have to be a move that we'll need to do early on in the week, and hopefully you can get up to a top guy like maybe a Zach Merritt, maybe even a Caleb Sarong to help with your buy structure. But it's expected that he's going down, go down in cash as well, even if he does play. If not, you can definitely look at holding him. I'll go through that since it's one of the questions a little bit later. But we'll need to wait and see because he's got a very nice run coming up after that Crows match if he's available. So, yeah, we'll just wait and see how he goes and whether he's selected for this week. Maybe he'll be a late out if he doesn't pull up. But yeah, we'll just need to wait and see with that Port Power team on the Wednesday night when it comes out. Nick Munn, 113. So he's had a very good start to the season so far. One of the best starting picks for sure. And he got 30 disposals in that Anzac Day clash against Collingwood. So he had 4 marks, which is a little bit down for him, and 4 tackles. So tackles were up, marks were down. Doesn't really matter. He still scores very well. Doesn't give away many free kicks at all, and has the Eagles this week, so that's definitely a favourable matchup. And he plays on the Saturday night, so maybe if you want to do a late VC, you can possibly go to him. But I'm expecting him to score pretty well this week. Sam Walsh, 102. Against Geelong, I probably would have thought he'd score a little bit more. Time on ground is just above 80. His disposal count is nothing to be concerned of at all. He always gets the disposals. It's just whether he can find any marks or any tackles. So he's had 2 marks so far this season, and that was both against the Crows in his first game. Tackles, so he had 13 against the Crows, 4 against GWS, and he's back up to 7. So he needs to rely on tackles to get his points, which is a little bit concerning. He had Mark O'Connor running with him for most of the game from what I saw, so that was very noticeable, and let Paddy Cripps off the hook a little bit, and obviously Paddy Cripps scored pretty well this week. But still a nice pickup. He's got a decent run going into his mid-season bye, He still has the likes of Collingwood, Melbourne, Gold Coast and Essendon to come before that bye. So someone to definitely look at. He's priced at 926K now and someone that you can definitely go to. Jai Caldwell, I brought him in for the Anzac Day clash thinking that he was due for another big score. So he was coming off 3 tons. He had a better run than Jack McRae from what I thought. And unfortunately, he didn't deliver. He hasn't really gone above 80% time on ground, which is a little bit concerning. He spends a lot of time on the bench. And that was very noticeable for me. He started the second quarter on the bench, even after being benched for the last 10 minutes in the first quarter. Had 24 touches, so that wasn't too bad. Marks and tackles were down from the last couple of weeks. So needs to rely on that, similar to someone like a Nick Martin. But obviously Nick Martin does it a little bit more consistently. Jai Caldwell going against the Eagles this week should be okay, and I'll back him in. Matt Roberts, 631K now, so he's been the biggest price riser this year, I'd like to say. So he's almost gone up 400K since the start of the year. Going against GWS, a little bit of a tougher matchup, break even of 55, so that shouldn't be anything that we should be concerned about. But he's been very solid so far this year, had another 20 disposal game. 9 marks is his season high so far, so that was nice to see. Against Hawthorn, pretty easy matchup. And we should be expecting 70 plus scores from him every single week. So just hold him a couple more weeks until he maxes out his cash. And then we can move him on to some bigger and better things. Jeremy Sharp, someone that will be highly traded out this week for sure. 98% time on ground was very good, but he does not get much reward for his efforts. He only had the 9 touches, 2 marks, 1 tackle, and still kicked it behind. But 39 is not really what we want as a fantasy coach. Has a breaking of 76. Richmond is a very favourable matchup, so I'll probably be holding him because I've got so many other issues as well. But he's someone that can be definitely moved on. He's 570K now. That might be his max for the year, depending on how he goes this week. So I'd move him on if I had the opportunity to, if you don't have any issues like I do. But someone to definitely keep your eye on. Richmond's a very good matchup, so can still be held for one more week, I'd say. Will Graham, 83, defender mid status he got from his DPP. And has a breaking of 7 now, so 83. 11 tackles was probably his best stat so far this year, apart from his 14-tackle game against Hawthorn. Good matchup against the Eagles. He has Brisbane, which is probably one of the toughest midfield matchups you can go with right now. 12 touches he had, so he's not a very big disposal winner, but he can definitely provide us with some extra points. Maybe he's coming off your bench as an emergency, but I wouldn't be looking at fielding him this week. Closely, maybe you can field, but I'd be a little bit concerned with Will Graham's role. He doesn't spend much time on the field. He's low 70s most weeks for time on ground. So someone that you can probably just sit on your bench for a couple weeks. I still have Riley Sanders. I don't really know why. I went Colby McKercher out instead of him a couple weeks ago, and that proved costly with Colby getting a 109 this week. And Riley will need a go for me unless he just comes back, but I'm not really sure if Bevo's going to give him that opportunity. He has a really good run with Hawthorn and Richmond coming up, but I don't see him playing. Jai Clark, similar. So he has been the sub the last few weeks, but he didn't even get an opportunity against Carlton this week. He got omitted from the team, and even if he performs well in the seconds, I'm not really sure if we'll see him for quite some time. Tristan Jerry, 83, was my top scoring ruck somehow. So he went up against Rob, so tough ruckman. Rob doesn't give many free hit outs. He still had the 32, 15 disposals. Tackles were down to a season low this week, which is probably where his points were kept from him. So he has Rowan Marshall this week, but that depends on whether Rowan Marshall will get up to play. We're not too sure about that right now, but Ross Lyon says that he is fairly sore. Might be Tom Campbell this week, depending on how Rowan Marshall goes this week during training. Brody Grundy, 72, was looking much worse, to be honest. Had 4 frees against, which is similar to what happened in round 1 against Collingwood. Had 15 disposals, down from his 24 that he got the week before against Jared Witts. Tackles were down from 11 that he had against Jared Witts last week as well. He's just a little bit of a liability in our ruck spot. Obviously, I haven't got Max Gawn, which has been one of the reasons why I'm ranked so low. He has Max Gawn as Geelong this week, so that's Toby Conway or Reece Stanley, and I won't be able to trade him in, unfortunately, because I've got other issues, but definitely someone that you can go Brody Grundy up to a Max Gawn, maybe even a Tim English, because he seems to be finding some form as well. But Brody Grundy is someone that can probably be moved on pretty soon. Has the early buy as well, so maybe someone that you want to jump off as. So, yeah, it's just interesting to see how Brody Grundy will go in the next few weeks coming up to his mid-season buy, and whether he'll perform or not, I'm not too sure. But has a couple decent matchups before that, so keep your eye on Brody Grundy if you still have him. I think about 35% still do, so yeah, we'll see how he goes against Kieran Briggs this week, but it's not looking too good for Brody Grundy right now. Isaac Heaney, 90, so probably the hottest player in the competition right now. 21 touches, 3 marks and 3 tackles is a little bit down from his numbers so far this year. He kicked the 3 goals, which is a season high, but wasn't able to crack the ton for the 6th straight game for him. But nevertheless, he is a gun player. Sam Flanders, since bringing him in, he's gone 126 and 112, so I had to get him in a couple weeks ago just purely because I thought with the halfback role he should score well. Has Brisbane this week, not sure if Brisbane will look to tag him, but normally a pretty safe scorer. He'll most likely get 100-plus if he's kept in the same role. That's all up to Damien Hardwick, though. Dane Zorko, 62, so one of the best forwards so far this year. Chris Fagan decides to select Connor McKenna, and Zorko's sent straight back to a forward midfield role that we've seen him do in the past. So his scoring went down 60 points from his Geelong game the week before. Has Gold Coast, Crows, Richmond, Hawks all before his mid-season bye, and they're all very favourable matchups. But that is if he plays in the defence. If he plays a forward or a midfielder, I'm not sure if he's going to score that well. Definitely won't be hopping on him if I was someone that doesn't have him right now. He's 14% owned. I just can't see a world where Chris Fagan decides to change his mind and leave Connor McKenna out of the side, even though Connor McKenna had about 15 touches. It's just much better to see Dane Zorko off the halfback flank attacking the ball and maybe even drifting forward for a goal or two. But with Connor McKenna in the side, I just don't see a world where Dane Zorko is able to play that free role that he's been given so far this year. Tom Powell, another one. For some reason, I don't really know what Clarko's thinking, but he's playing him as a forward now. I'm not too sure what's happened there. Will Phillips came into the side. He was in most of the CBAs. Tom Powell's pushed out, had 10 touches, 1 tackle, and a goal in the first quarter. So I just don't really know what's happening with any of the North players, to be honest. They're not doing too well. Their confidence is low. And Tom Powell, for some reason, who's been performing pretty well in the midfield, has been pushed out. So Will Phillips was subbed, which is a good thing to know, but it's whether Will Phillips will keep his spot in the side. If he doesn't, we'll probably see Tom Powell go back into the midfield. But if Will Phillips somehow gets a game, I think that Tom Powell will most likely stay in that forward role that we saw him play against the Crows this week. So something to be definitely concerned about with my team having Dane Zorko, Tom Powell, both having role changes. It's not looking very good. Harley Reid, I looped onto my field to get Darcy Wilson's 92 and also get Harry Sheezel's 125 as my captain. Darcy with a 92, so my second best forward score for the week and someone that a lot of people would be very happy with, including Ross Lyon. So Ross played him 91% time on ground this week, had 21 touches, 6 marks, 3 tackles, and kicked 2 behind, so it could have easily been a ton. But has North and Hawks in the next 2, so should score pretty well. Definitely a fieldable option at probably that F6 spot. But his mate, Hugo Garcia, I'm not too certain on. He looked like a guy that just was a little bit too small in the midfield. He didn't really have much strength against all of the big bodies that Port have. And even against someone like a Zach Butters, who's a little bit smaller, he just didn't seem to have the skill set to be able to keep up with them. Had the 7 touches with 6 tackles. Obviously, tackles is a big factor that gets him most of his points. But he needs to be able to get some disposals as well. 7 touches isn't really going to provide us with a good score. So someone that might be sub next week, not too sure. We'll see how selection goes. Seth Campbell, 37, not really much to say on him, except he can probably go now. Max out in price, and I won't really be expecting him to get a 52 against Frio this week. Cooper Simpson, I brought him a few weeks ago, and he finally got his debut game, and he scored 28 as a sub, so not too sure if he'll keep his spot or not, with a few people also coming back in, like Sam Switzkowski. But yeah, we'll have to just wait and see. His break-even's down 4 points to a score of 21. So something that you can look at if you get some full games, but I'm not too sure if that's going to happen. Now we'll just go through some of the best scores from last round. So the Rucks dominated the best scores with Tim English, Jared Witts and Max Gawn all getting 130 pluses. Obviously, Tim English was the highest price play at the start of the season. 27% owned. A few people might have jumped off him to go to a Tristan Jerry earlier this year, but he's come good in the last couple weeks, 128 and 141 back-to-back. Has Lloyd Meek this week, so could be an interesting watch. Is probably going to be the lowest price that he's going to be at for the for most of the season, I'd assume, with a break-in of 94. Someone that you can probably look at maybe after his bye if he continues that this scoring run, has the last bye, so going to be pretty easy to jump on him maybe in the next couple of weeks before that late bye, but has North, Port and Carlton the few weeks after that bye. So Jared Witts was the second highest scorer with 135. To be honest, it was a pretty easy matchup. Obviously, he's more of a draft ruckman. With a 46 hit-out game, he had 18 disposals and 8 tackles, with also a goal, so that was always going to be a pretty big score against Bailey Williams, and goes up against the Big O this week, so we'll see how he goes. Max Gawn, it's just really frustrating seeing him dominate the ruck every single week and me not being an owner. Toby Conway this week, so he's going to go massive again. It's just a guarantee. Break even of 97, he'll go up even more in cash. And it's just really bad to watch him as a non-owner in Classic. Obviously, he's my draft ruckman for my league for draft, and he scores well every single week. I chuck the VC on him, and he's just good to go. But unfortunately for Classic, that's not the case, and someone that needs to be brought into our team sometime this year, depending on when, I'm not too sure. But maybe someone to look at if you've got Brody Grundy still. Bailey Dale is someone that maybe people can jump on, I'm not too sure. He was obviously the sub a few weeks ago, and he comes back and scores a 160 and 134 in back-to-back weeks. Time on ground's up from what it's been so far this season, and he's getting 30 plus disposals in those two games, and his marks are up as well, taking kickouts. So it's just some free points, really. Also kicked the two goals this week, so more than an attacking halfback, similar to a Nick Martin. Someone against Hawthorn, he can score well yet again this week. I'm just not too sure with Bevo whether we can trust him or not. But, yeah, it's a close watch. I'd probably say give it one more week. If he goes up to 800k next week, he's obviously scored pretty well, and possibly someone that you can jump on. Nick Blakey, 132, so saw Finn McGuinness go to him a little bit early in the game, and he just ran Finn off his feet. Finn ended up going into the midfield and a little bit of forward time as well, and Nick Blakey benefited from that, and he got a 132. Nothing really to look at, though. I've been burnt by Nick Blakey in the past as well a couple of seasons ago, so probably not someone that I'd jump on. I'd rather go Bailey Dale. Ollie Florent, more of a draft-relevant person here, but now has an average of 85. Scored 131. I don't really know how that happened. Nick Blakey, Florent, and Jake Lloyd all were in the top scorers this week, so obviously a little bit of junk time last week. Tom Green, 127. So back to his best, Tom Green, and he has a 121 break-even this week. So someone that you can maybe look at. Has the early buy, though, which is my only concern. I'd probably try to jump on him at straight after his buy, seeming as though we've got the three trades in round 12, 13, 14, and 15. And that's where a lot of people will be trying to go up to those premium guys, and Tom Green is certainly one of those. Harry Sheezel, as I talked about him before, he's just a really good fantasy scorer when he's playing that half-back role. When he's not, it's a little bit concerning. Clarko was mentioning earlier in the week that he was probably going to push Harry up in the ground, and that's what happened. So he has Saints this week, so maybe Winhager goes to him. I'm not too sure, but he seems to be on track for a 120 score for most weeks. Zach Merritt and Andy McGrath both played against Collingwood in the Anzac Day clash. Zach Merritt continues to be one of the best fantasy scorers this year, and he is going down by not much every single week purely because of how consistent he is. He hasn't gone below 100 yet, has four scores over 120 so far, and against the Eagles this week, I wouldn't be surprised if he goes big yet again. Andy McGrath, similar, I won't be surprised if he goes big against the Eagles as well. Jawn Dawson and Rory Laird were up there as well with 120-plus scores. Jawn Dawson was on track for maybe a 150 if we considered all of his points leading up to halftime. But someone that you can probably jump on now, he seems to be fit and firing, and against Port Adelaide, I won't be surprised if he pulls out another captain's performance against him. He doesn't mind playing against Port Adelaide, so we'll see how he goes. Rory Laird, similar, he had a really good contested game on the weekend, had a huge amount of clearances as well as firing the ball with ease in the midfield. Matt Crouch seems to be the one feeding it to him, so those guys work really well in the midfield, and with Jake Soligo also going in there as well as Isaac Rankin, there's a lot of free ball to be had. And then we've got the likes of Matt Rau, Josh Kelly, and Errol Goulden after that with all 120-plus scores as well. So next, I'll just go to the most traded-in and trade-out players, since that is probably where a lot of people are stuck with trades so far this week. And the most traded-in players so far are Darcy Jones, with 14,000 coaches jumping on him so far. That 70 on the weekend seems to be something that a lot of coaches are going to be looking at. I'm just not too sure with Toby Green and a couple of people coming back whether he'll be the best rookie option. I'd probably go with someone like a Taj Woden, who seems to be taking Christian Salem's role a little bit. And he also is being traded in by 3,000 coaches, so those two are probably the best rookie targets. Maybe even a Jake Rogers if you can afford him. He's now up to 280k. seems to be one of the better rookies and more of the job security that we've been wanting. Has a Rising Star nomination for this week, so he obviously played really well, and Damien Hardwick won't look past him coming into selection this week. Jack McRae is going to be traded in by probably about 7,000 coaches, I'd say, going into this week against Hawthorn. But yet again, the only concern is that Libert was named as a late out this week, and I'm not too sure if he'll score that well with Libert in. That's the main reason why I went with Jai Caldwell, and obviously Libert came out, so probably regretted me not just waiting on Jack McRae, but that's all right. Jordan Sweet going to be traded in by 3,000 coaches so far this week, up against Riley O'Brien this week, which will be interesting to see whether he'll be able to get the hit outs against Rob. But he's got an average of 78 now, and now has a break even of 12, so someone that will generate money pretty quick, and someone that you can definitely consider bringing in. I'll probably try to get up to him if I've got the cash. I have the loot. I don't have the loop option. I have the option to bring Harry Barnett into my forward line if I need to. So that R3 position is always something that I can look at. Bailey Dale is being traded in by 3,000 coaches, similar amount Zach Merritt. So I'm not too sure who is being replaced by Bailey Dale this week, but probably someone like a Zach Williams or someone else. I'm not too sure. But we'll need to wait and see whether Bailey Dale will continue with that role. Obviously, it's looking pretty good so far after his sub game. But yeah, I'll just wait and see. Zach Merritt, obviously one of the best fantasy scorers in the game. I'd definitely tick off having him in your team. Jordan Dawson, another one that's looking like he's going to come back and score well for us. So average of 110 now. It's going up every single week, and that's also the same trend with his price. And I'd say this is probably the week that you'd want to jump on him. I feel like against Port Adelaide, he's going to want to do well in the showdown, similar with Roy Laird, but I'd probably just wait a couple weeks on Roy Laird to see how he goes in the midfield. But both seem to be back and firing for the Crows. Sam Flanders, if you don't have him, you probably need to get him sometime, sooner rather than later, as I've said for most of the year. Brisbane is probably a tougher matchup, but I don't really see him going below a 90 for most of the year, given that he's going to be a defender for that time. Errol Goulden, someone that a lot of people can be looking at. Only concern is that early mid-season bye in round 12. So that's my only concern with Errol, but so far it's looking pretty good following that shaky start to the season with that 69 and 83 in the first few weeks. But he hasn't gone below the ton in the last three games. Cooper Simpson, this is probably just for some people that want to grab a rookie for their early trades and just see what happens at team selection, but someone that you can look at if he isn't given the vest. Tom Green, Sam Walsh, Nick Dacos, all luxury trade-ins if you're able to get any of those. Nick Dacos, obviously the lowest price one out of those guys, 870k now. And someone you can hop on, Nat Fyfe. I wouldn't be bringing in Nat Fyfe this week. I'm just not too sure whether he can put up a 30 disposal game every single week. Cam Guthrie, only concern is for Cam that he gets injured pretty much every second, third week. So I'm just not really willing to risk that. But he is priced pretty low and he has a break-in of 82. Isaac Heaney, you probably have to get him sometime, but it's probably pretty late since he's averaging 115 points so far this year. Riley Hardman, maybe someone that you can look at if he's given the opportunity. Had a few mistakes in his debut game, and I'm not too sure whether Clarko would have liked that or not. Now I'm just going to switch to the most traded out players, and at the top, yeah, Jeremy Sharp is the most traded out player so far, with 6,000 coaches jumping off him. Similar amount for Zach Fisher and Riley Sanders. So all of these guys can go. Zach Fisher, his break-even is now over the ton mark, and Jeremy Sharp is probably the one guy from those three that I'd consider holding, mainly because of job security and probably because he can just play out a full game. I'm not too sure Justin Longmuir is going to really rest him. I don't think he'll get omitted. I just think that his running is really valuable to a team like Fremantle, who like going on some quick attacking play. Zach Fisher needs to go. He's going to be the sub probably again this week. He didn't really do much. That's probably a reason why Harry Sheasel went into the forward line, is because Zach Fisher came on. So also another thing that can probably be flagged about Zach Fisher, and also with Harry Sheasel. Riley Sanders being traded out, obviously can't get a game right now, and someone that I'll be looking to trade out this week. Ollie Dempsey also can be traded out this week. He looks like he's going to be maxed out in cash. Has Melbourne this week. Not sure if he'll score a 76, which is his break-even, but maybe you can hold him for one more week. I'm just not too sure. With Poor and GWS coming in the next 4 weeks. Zach Williams can be traded out. 4,000 coaches getting off him. Same amount with Tom Powell as well. So Tom Powell can... Well, it's just whether Will Phillips will get dropped or not is the only thing that I'm going to be probably trying to keep him, because Tom Powell has the ability to score well, given that he'll play in the midfield, but I'm not too sure right now. Clarko seems to be mixing it up a little bit. And same as Zach Williams, I'm just not too sure whether he'll even get a game this week, mainly because of a few poor defensive errors. But he's got an average of 64, doesn't get bulk disposals, doesn't distribute it that well off halfback, so he can probably get dropped this week. I'm just not too sure how he'll go. Connor Rosie is probably the most interesting trade out this week, and I'll go through him a little bit later for the question, but he can probably be traded out if that is your, if that's probably your biggest worry so far. There is a few other worries that a lot of people might have with Riley Sanders, Zach Fisher, Jeremy Sharp, Tom Powell, Williams. All of these guys have some role changes that we're not really looking forward to, but Connor Rosie can see on your bench for 1 week if we're thinking it is going to be a 1 week injury. He has a good run against after the Crows. He has Geelong, Hawks and North, so I'd probably try to hold him, but if you can't, and if you can get up to someone like a Zach Merritt or Caleb Sarong, I'd probably try to do that as well. Luke Jackson being traded out by 4,000 coaches. Not surprising since Sean Darcy's come back. And, yeah, it just doesn't look like he's going to get bulk ruck time where he scored very well at the start of the season. And he's kicking 2 goals a game, but back-to-back 61s is not really what we're looking for. Aaron Cadman being traded out, so he's a rookie that's probably maxed out in price. He has a break-in of 53. And Seth Campbell also being traded out, with Harvey Gallagher, Massimo also in there if he didn't jump off him. Brody Grundy also being jumped off by a few people, so not too surprising there as well. So I'll go to the lowest and highest break-evens, mainly because a few people enjoy this segment, just to see who's going to make the most money in the short term and who's going to drop in price in the next few weeks as well. So Darcy Jones has the lowest break-even this week with a negative 6. Biggie, if you haven't jumped on him yet, I'm just not too sure whether he'll be playing for much longer with Callan Dawson possibly coming back. But he has a break-even of negative 1. Tashwo Woden, someone that you can look at, negative 1 break-even, as well as LaFau. So all of those guys have negative break-evens, but probably the two that I'd be considering is Darcy Jones and Taj Woden. Taj is priced at 250k. Darcy Jones is priced at 234k. Hugo Garcia, breaking of 5. Not too sure if he'll be the sub or whether he'll be actually in the team. He might even be omitted. I'm just not too sure how Ross Lyon sees him right now. He was obviously given quite a bit of a run against the Bulldogs, where he scored pretty well. So that was a decent team to score against, but has North and Hawks coming up. So both teams that maybe he can find some form in, I'm not too sure, but I just won't be having him on my field. I just don't trust him enough. Toby Conway, if he plays, he's a pretty decent option. But I'd be going Jordan Sweet instead of him if you can find the extra 60k. Will Graham, if you don't have him, it's a little bit late now, but he has a breaking of 7. And then Patrick Voss had a pretty good debut on the weekend. He kicked a couple goals and he scored 47. He is now priced at 217k if you're looking for a forward. Jace Burgoyne had a really good game, but maybe it just he's just too expensive and a little bit of a risk. As a mid-pricer, I'd be going either all the way down or all the way up if possible. Riley Hardman, breaking of 10, so a little bit concerning, but I'd say that he'll probably I'd say that he's going to get a game this week as well. But it's just a little bit concerning, seeming as though he had a few errors in his debut game. Jake Rogers, the Rising Star nominee for this week, scored 69 and he's now priced at 280. So I'd definitely jump on him as well as Taj Woden and Darcy Jones. The highest break-evens, Rowan Marshall is the most relevant player with a high break-even. So he's got a break-even of almost 160. And after his back-to-back pretty poor weeks, I'd say that he's a target in the next, in the next 5 weeks, you can probably just wait on him, and after his bye, you can jump on him. That's if he finds form, that's if he's not hurt, but definitely someone worth just watching for the next few weeks. Whether he'll get up for this week, I'm not too sure. Another Saints man, Jack Steele, is also going down in money quite quickly, breaking with 151. With a score last round of 72, it's just not looking very good after his hot start to the year. Back-to-back sub-90 games, and I'm just not too sure. He had a knee niggle, apparently, during the week, and he had that taped up on the weekend. And just doesn't look like he's moving with much freedom. And that was my only concern with him, not starting him this year, was that he's had some injury history in the previous couple seasons. Tom Stewart, if he comes back in the next few weeks, someone to look at, breaking of 141. And he's going to be out for maybe one more week before he comes back after his concussion. But someone to keep your eye on as well. Connor Rosie, 138. So this might be a reason why a few people were jumping off him because of this high break-even. But still averaging 103 with that injury. Only one game below a 99. So can consistently score a lot of points. But it's just whether you want to hold him. He'll drop in price. A lot of people will pick him up for that round 13 bye. So he won't be much of a unique in a couple weeks' time. Clayton Oliver, Christian Petrarca, both sitting at 137 break-even and both dropping in price enormously every single week. Clary dropped 63k and Petrarca dropped 42k. And it's just looking more and more likely that these guys will be pickups later in the season. And it's probably going to benefit us quite a bit if Petrarca seems to find some form and if Clary can get rid of all of his struggles so far this year and he can start scoring as well. Will Day came back, scored 47, wasn't really expecting that much from him. Caleb Sarong, 130 break-even, can possibly hit that against the Tigers this week. Obviously, they're a very easy team to score against. And with all of the midfield out for them, I can see a world where Caleb Sarong goes past that 130 and is able to get a pretty big score. So those are the highest and lowest break evens. Some captain options before we go into the listener questions. So if you're looking at the showdown on Thursday night, the only guy that I'm looking at is Jordan Dawson, who seems to be one of the best captains in the AFL in the past couple of weeks. Been leading by example, kicked a couple goals and also had about 30 disposals as well to win that Anzac medal for that match against North Melbourne. And I can see a world where he goes pretty big. Collingwood Carlton, I don't really think there's many people that you'd want to be vice-captaining in that match. If you have faith in Nick Dacos, you can go there, but I just don't think that's going to be an option with George Hewitt in the team and possibly tagging him. Sydney, GWS, Tom Green's in this game. Isaac Heaney's in this game. I just don't trust either of them. Both are tough matchups playing against each other, so it's going to be interesting to see how they score. North and St Kilda, you can definitely look at. So Harry Sheasel's there. Then you've got the likes of Jack Steele, but as I said before, I'm not too sure about Jack Steele. Rowan Marshall, if he played, I'd say that he's maybe a captain option against Tristan Jerry, but I think that the best option there is Harry Sheasel, and I think he'll be one of the most vice-captained players this week. Melbourne Geelong, Max Gawn, pretty obvious. I'd go with him as a VC or a captain. Zach Merritt against West Coast, I'd go for that. Maybe even a Nick Mann if you're pretty bold in your captain selections. Richmond Frio, Caleb Sarong. I wouldn't go Andy Brayshaw, but both of those guys should score pretty well. Marcus Bontempelli against Hawthorne should be a good player to go for as a late captain option if someone like a Harry Sheasel failed for you, or maybe even a Max Gawn if he got injured. But someone on the second to last game on Sunday that you can definitely captain. And Brisbane Gold Coast, I wouldn't really be going for anyone. Obviously, Sam Flanders will be in that game, but I don't really see a world where he'll score that much against that Brisbane Lions forward line. I'd think that he'll do a lot more defending as well. So I'll just move to some questions I've got from the public this week. So which teams have some nice runs leading into the byes? So I'd say that Western Bulldogs is probably the team with one of the best runs into their bye. I'd also say that Essendon is probably the best team to jump on a couple guys. That's why I went with Jai Caldwell instead of someone like a Jack McRae last week, purely because of their run. They have West Coast, GWS, North, Richmond, Gold Coast, and Carlton before their round 14 bye. So Western Bulldogs, Essendon both have good runs. Port Adelaide have good runs before their round 13 bye, and I jump on someone like a Zach Butters, like a Connor Rosie, maybe even a Dan Houston if you want to go there. They're all good guys to jump on, I'd say. But those are the three teams which I think have the best runs leading into their mid-season byes. Is Clarko turning into a Bevo? What is he doing with that midfield? So obviously we've seen a couple concerning fantasy scores coming out of that game. Tom Powell was the main person that was left out of that midfield rotation. Will Phillips coming in just ruined everything for our fantasy teams, pretty much. Harry Sheasel went forward. Tom Powell went forward. Colby McKercher, even though quite a few people jumped off him, he went back. And yeah, I just don't know what's happening. I don't really know what Clarko's really thinking at the moment. But obviously Tom Powell is the guy that he thinks should miss out on that midfield time and CBAs. And Harry Sheasel also getting in the midfield as well, which isn't the worst thing for his scoring, but obviously as a defender, he scores the most. So I just wouldn't be confident picking up any North Melbourne players right now. And even though they might be a developing team with a few decent players, I don't trust any of them apart from Harry Sheasel and Tristan Jerry. Next question, is Connor Rossi a hold or a sell? So this is based on how your team's looking. If you're like me, you might have some other issues that you need to get rid of. But I'd say probably hold him. He has a good run coming up. If we know from the Port Adelaide doctors that it's going to be 1 week, or maybe if he's even playing this week, it's probably the best option to hold him, and that'll most likely be the best option coming out of this round if you can hold him, and if you can upgrade to another midfielder by holding him this week. If you can go Jeremy Sharp up to someone that you seem to like, I think it's the best option to hold Connor Rossi since he's got the best run and has the best buy. If you want to go like straight to Zach Butters, or if you want to go to Merritt, I can totally understand that. So it's just purely whether you've got the likes of like a Riley Sanders still, a Zach Williams still. If you want to get rid of Tom Powell, all of those guys can go. Jeremy Sharp can go before. Yeah, it's just totally dependent on how your team's looking right now. But it is concerning that we have the Port Adelaide skipper out for the showdown this week. Can Sweet be put on field? Yes, you can definitely put Jordan Sweet on field. I know that he's up against Rob, probably one of the tough ruckmen to score against, but it's looking pretty likely that he's going to be the number one ruckman for Port Adelaide for the next couple of weeks at least. If you want to go Brody Grundy out and you don't really want to go up to Max Gorn and you don't want to spend 240k getting him, you can definitely go down to Jordan Sweet, gets you 400k, and you can upgrade elsewhere. But the only concern is that Rob's his opponent this week. But next week he goes up against Toby Conway or Rhys Stanley, so that should be a pretty easy matchup for him. And yeah, I just think that he'll most likely dominate the likes of Rhys Stanley and Lloyd Meek in the next couple rounds coming after that. So yeah, Jordan Sweet's a pretty good purchase at 443k. When should we start considering the mid-season buys? So I'd probably start, well, I've already been thinking about it. So we're about four rounds away from the mid-season buys. So that's 8 trades to get your team in decent shape for those mid-season buys. Obviously, you want to probably be purchasing Port Adelaide and Fremantle players if you can. So the likes of Caleb Sarong, Connor Rossi if he comes back from his hamstring, Zach Butters, Dan Houston, Luke Ryan if you want to go there. Those guys are all decent options that you should probably try to get in the next few weeks. I'd probably be trying to jump off the guys that have the round 12 bye. So someone like a Matt Roberts can stay for a few more weeks before that bye. Tom Powell can probably go. If you have a Dane Zorko, he can probably go if he starts playing that forward role that we saw him play on the weekend. But probably the goal is to have more of the round 13 guys. Not that many, but if Jordan Sweet can somehow make it all the way to the mid-season bye and be that option for you when your other players go down, it's probably a decent option going Jordan Sweet now. Maybe if he scores well, he'll go with Soldo as well. So Soldo is looking like he'll be back in 4 weeks. So it's going to be interesting to see how they sum up that ruck situation and whether Jordan Sweet will hold his spot. But a lot of people will have quite a few players on that round 12 bye. So the likes of Harry Sheasel, Whitfield, Roberts, Sherry, Grundy, Heaney, all of those guys. are going to have that round 12 bye, and you'll get three trades that week, but you can't really hold all of them. I think that's probably best to get rid of Roberts by then, get rid of Tom Powell by then, and maybe even a Brody Grundy or Trishan Jerry. But try to aim for the round 13 and probably the round 15 buys. Round 14 seems to have quite a few relevant names on it as well. And round 15 has the likes of the Bulldogs, Collingwood, and St Kilda, it looks like, also with Richmond as well. So something that you can probably start planning for now. But if you really want to wait a couple more weeks until you start thinking about that, it might hurt you in the end, but I'd start thinking about it right now. Can you go through each of the highly owned rookies and tell us if they are a sell or if they are a hold? Sure. So if we're looking at rookies right now, if I can get that up. So Harley Reid, keep. He's looking like a very good player, breaking with 22, and against Essendon coming back this week, he should score fine. Darcy Wilson, you can hold for a couple more weeks. Colby McCurtry, you can hold after his cash generation's restarted with that 109. Hugo Garcia, you can hold or maybe even buy, depending on how he's going this week, whether he'll be selected or not. Blake Howes is a rookie that you can probably keep for a couple more weeks, breaking off 31 after that 80. And someone like a Jai Clark, you can get rid of. Zane Dersma, you can get rid of. Toby Pink, you can get rid of. Matt Roberts, keep. He's probably the best scoring rookie out of all of them right now. Riley Sanders, you can sell. Will Graham, you can keep. Harvey Thomas can probably be sold now. Even though he's got breaking up 24 against Sydney this week, it might be a little bit tough for him. Someone like a Jeremy Sharp, you can sell as well. Harry Barnett, not really a rookie, but he won't be playing, so it's a good loop option. Someone like a Caleb Windsor, you can get rid of. Charlie Lazaro, you can get rid of. Cooper Simpson, I just hold him for now. Aaron Cadman's an interesting one, but I'd probably sell him, breaking on 53, and it doesn't really look like he's going to get that unless he scores well against Sydney this week. Someone like an Ollie Dempsey, you can probably get rid of, breaking of 76. He's gone up 300k since the start of the season, so he's been really good for us, and you can get rid of him now. That's about it for the rookies, and I'll see if I've got any more questions. No, that is it. So that looks like that's going to be the end of the podcast. Thank you guys for watching. Hopefully I'll climb the ranks this week rather than going down. So far, the only trade that I've locked in right now is Riley Sanders to Jordan Sweet. Gains me 60K as well. And I'll have 267K to make my second move this week, purely dependent on whether Connor Rosie will end up playing or not. If he does play, I'll go probably Zach Williams up to another midfielder and put either Matt Roberts or Riley Bonner in my defense. And I'll play probably Sam Closey over Zach Williams this week as well. So that's all I've got for the podcast this week. It's been good being back in the studio. And yeah, good luck.